Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Revival for Christ Club International Radio Ministries President, Timothy Vanover, on the air regularly, weekly on this station with the Revival for Christ Club radio program, has this to say regarding the situation in Waco.
The general observation that we have here in the United States with the incident that occurred in Waco, Texas, was that whenever anyone begins to take the Word of God and they begin to try to interpret it with their own personal interpretation, they're going to twist certain facts and certain events and try to make them fit their own personal opinion. The man known as David Koresh, who was the one that was considered the leader of the Davidian group, which was located in Waco, in the event that took place in Waco, claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the Lamb of God, or the only begotten Son of God. Now, the Word of God directly teaches us that there is only one begotten Son of God. There is only one that was considered the only begotten Son of God, and his name was Jesus Christ. He was born 2,000 years ago by Immaculate Conception to one named Mary. And we find in the Bible, in John, the Bible teaches us that he was the Word of God made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, the Bible also teaches us that there will never again be a only begotten Son of God come as he came 2,000 years ago. But the next time that when he comes, he will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will claim his children. He will call his bride home. Now, when that event occurs, we won't have to go looking for him in Waco. We won't have to go looking for him in Europe. We won't have to go looking for him anywhere. He'll find us. He will know his children, and he will call us to him. I think one of the things that concerns us in the United States was that people could be led away or led astray with an event like this. But the reason that we feel that people have been led astray is because the Word of God is not, they do not have the Word of God established in their hearts, in their minds, and in their souls. And good teaching, good solid teaching about Christian principles will teach you that there is only one begotten Son of God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that any time a man begins to claim that he is the Lamb of God, that he is your Savior, that he can save your soul, that a man on his individual personal ability can do anything for you, this man is in error. Because we have to realize that there is only one Son of God.
Well, you made a point very clearly, Timothy. However, yes, there are indications that other sects or other groups more or less like the one of the Davidians do exist around the world. What are your indications? Does this group exist?
Yes, sir. I do want to explain this for a moment. There are many groups, many fractured groups which do exist that have a tendency to try to set themselves up as, and let me say one of the ways you can know right immediately that one of these groups, that you're in danger of being in one of these groups, is when you begin to give over everything that you have to this group. When this group begins to say that we are the only ones that have the truth, no one else, unless they come through this way, will be doing it the right way. Or you find out that the leader of the group begins to lift himself up and puts himself on an equal level as God, or puts himself on an equal level with Christ. When they begin to say, if you are in sin, you come to me and I will heal your sin. You come to me and I will take care of this for you and I will do this for you. When you begin to realize that the group that you are in, they are trying to get you to look at the man or the leader more than they are trying to get you to look at the Word for yourself and to look at Christ for yourself, to begin to get a relationship with Jesus Christ and begin to know him as your personal Lord and Savior, and begin to realize that when you have a problem or a situation or a circumstance, you need to go into prayer and talk to God for yourself.
Well, on the other hand, you made a point quite clearly again, on the other hand, didn't the first Christians and didn't the New Testament say that the first Christian lived together and they give all the goods, whatever they had, they left their fathers,
right,
their mothers, their family, and they live in a community where everything was of everybody? So
yes,
you are a little bit against this, isn't it?
Let me explain what I'm saying about that. You have to realize in the beginning of the New Testament church, when the New Testament church began and when it started, you have to understand they had a great opposition, okay? For centuries and for generations, the only religion or the only acceptable way of belief or faith was in the Jewish religion, or in the Sanhedrin Council, the scribes and the Pharisees. When Jesus came along, he brought a new order in line. You brought a new order of having a relationship with God on your own. As these new disciples from Jesus Christ began their ministry, they got a commitment and a dedication to get the word out. So therefore, they sold all their goods, everything that they had, yes, but to support the gospel, not to support an individual, not to support one person, or not to support one person's person, not to lift or exalt up one individual. For example, everyone did not sell all they had to lift up the Apostle Paul or to lift up the Apostle Peter. What they did is they had all things common. They came in and said, hey, we're in this for the ministry. We're not in it for money. We're not in it for fame. We're not in it for glory or for wealth. We're in this to teach others about Jesus. So the thing about it is, again, you know, there may be an instance where people may come together, you know, and they may get a commitment and a dedication to see the gospel go forward. And they may want to give money to this effort. They may want to give things to this effort. But the point is, these things are not going for one person's personal gain. They're not going for a person's personal profit. In other words, the leader is not the only one that's driving nice new cars and wearing nice new clothes, and the gospel's not going out. He's just being lifted up as a god. See, the thing that makes it dangerous in these groups, and the reason they choose the community style type lifestyle, is because they can isolate their groups from the world. They can isolate their groups from other people. See, we in the body of Christ are not taught to do that. Even the disciples and even the early church was not taught to isolate themselves from the world. Although they may have lived and abode together, although they may have shared homes as to cut down on the cost of their ministry, although they may have sold goods in order to get the gospel out, when they went out into the world to win the lost. Their message was to the world. They did not isolate themselves from the world. Peter and Paul went out and preached in the streets. They told people about Jesus. They came in and confronted false religions and confronted false teachings and doctrines with the truth of Jesus Christ. So many of these groups try to pervert that scripture and try to use that scripture as a method of saying, this is how we are being obedient to God. We are all living in a commune type situation. We have all sold all of our goods as the Bible has said, and now we are doing this for the glory of God. But the thing that they need to realize and understand, though, is that are they lifting up Jesus? Are they taking a message of Christ to the world, or are they simply perpetuating the profitability of one man? Are they just giving their money to one individual? To one person. And see, this is where I think it is so dangerous that people, when they get a hold of the word, if the word is not interpreted spiritually, it becomes a very dangerous tool because it becomes a letter, and then it is open up for literal and personal interpretation, which Peter teaches us that the word of God is not for private interpretation, but holy men of old spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost or by the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit gives illumination, then do we have understanding of the word, and then are we able to apply it in the proper context for our life. So what I'm trying to say, brother, is that yes, definitely the New Testament church, when it was in its establishing stage, when it was in its founding stage, it required a lot of effort from all of the members to get it started. But one man did not take control of the money. One man did not take control of everything and use it for his own purpose. He distributed out as each minister needed it to go and minister the gospel. If one minister needed something, they would come together, they would give him what he needed, and they would send him out to preach the gospel. And he would go out, and when he would win converts, he would not tell them, look at me, lift me up as your God. As a matter of fact, there's a tremendous passage in the Bible which talks about Paul and Silas, when they went into a certain area to preach the gospel, that they begin to lift them up as gods. And they begin to start trying to exalt them as gods. And they begin to run through the streets and tell the people, do not lift us up. We are not gods. We are not the one you need to look to. You need to look to God. You need to look to Jesus Christ. And this is something that it seems like people get wrapped up in very easily, is to begin to lift up men, begin to lift up individuals. But we cannot do this. We have to realize that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. If you are of the Christian faith, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and His Heavenly Father is God. And you have to lift Him up and worship Him and only Him.
Freedom of the speech over the radio, over the media in general, freedom of religion, freedom of exercising your own faith, either privately or in public, is one of the rights which is very much felt in the United States of America, wherever you travel across the country. And I must say also over here in the heart of Europe, in every democratic country. There has been some criticism, we have registered that, on the fact that since this right exists in the constitutions of most of the democratic countries, the FBI might have taken away the freedom of religious with the use of arms. We ask Major James Hilton of the Salvation Army if he has any comments about that.
Well, I think they took away their freedom of expression in that sense by putting all the arms together that they had in there, and therefore when the authorities learned about it, I think that they saw what was going to possibly happen and were trying to prevent it. But in the doing so, it just didn't seem to work out properly. But I don't think we can excuse the cult.
Do you think the general impression, at least from your point of observation in the United States, is that the general public has a lot of criticism of what the Davidians were doing?
Yes, they do, and the poll here was about 73% in favor of what the FBI did, although they regretted what the outcome was, that the public supported what they did.
And as a reminder, this is Nexus International Broadcasting Association in Greater Milan, south of the Alps, in northern Italy, with a special report on the wacko situation in Texas in the United States of America. At the microphone, I'm Alfredo Cotroneo, speaking to you from Nexus IBA studio and via IRRS shortwave to Europe. And finally, I ask Bob Zanotti of Swiss Radio International, an American living in Switzerland, what are the latest information in the news?
Well, the latest information that I have, Alfredo, and it may be slightly dated or rather dated by the time this program goes on the air, indicates that more bodies have been found. This is an Associated Press report, and it is too early to say whether they shot themselves or they were shot by somebody else, but the bodies did contain bullet wounds. But there is absolutely no information whatsoever that would confirm or even substantiate the rumor or suspicion that somehow the FBI killed these people. I have checked with a colleague in the SRI newsroom, who incidentally is also extremely interested in the esoteric and philosophical issues, a professional newsman, and I have access to information as a journalist, and we are clear on one thing. There is absolutely no reason whatsoever to suspect or believe that the FBI somehow tried to eradicate this group through violence.
What do you think, yourself being an American and having lived in Europe for quite a long time, I must say, if you travel across the United States, you see a lot of churches, which is quite unique in reference to what is happening over here. And there's also a lot of these sects around the United States. Do you see any relation with the particular situation in the United States? Why is that happening?
Yes, there are a couple of things to be said here, and I would also supplement what you've just said, Alfredo, to include where I live right now. I'm sitting and speaking from my home in the middle of the Emmental. You've been a guest in my home. I think this has already been mentioned on IRRS. We've known each other for some time. And right down the street from where I'm talking to you right now, in the middle of a field, is a very small church, which is exactly the same denomination, or if you wish, sect, and I'd like to have a word about that word sect or cult later on, identifying itself from the same denominational point of view as the universal church or the universal life people. And in German it's called the Urchristen, which roughly translates or directly translates into Orthodox Christians. Now what they basically are is a group of people whose Christian doctrine is based on the first 300 years or so after the birth of Christ. And one of the reasons and each sect has its own special nuance or interpretation, they believe, and actually from a theological point of view, quite correctly, Alfredo, that after that time there were many manipulations, deletions, and so-called, as the church fathers called them at the time, corrections that were made. I mean, deliberate distortions in the original Christian doctrine. They like to go back to the original, and this is why, for example, in the broadcast, which I've heard from IRRS, and I understand German, of course, I speak it fluently, I have heard nothing in those broadcasts that would create any suspicion on my part. To get back to your question, why they tend to crop up in the United States, this is also linked to what I just said, Alfredo. Back in the last century especially, many small splinter groups, call them sects or cults if you wish, that were here in Europe, did emigrate to the United States because of local persecution in Europe. I think, for example, of the Dutch. Now, we in Europe know the Dutch to be a very liberal a group of people politically and socially, but the funny thing is the Dutch who settled in the United States at the turn of the century are known to be among the most conservative and orthodox in their Christian and social views. And there's also today in modern America, let's face it, Alfredo, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of loneliness, desperation, isolation, people looking for some kind of connection to something, and this is the breeding ground for the kind of thing we've seen in Waco, Texas.
Well, still one thing which really astonishes me, knowing pretty well the situation in the United States, it's a democratic country where freedom is brought to the very extreme. How could the, legally speaking, and under what kind of provision in the law, could the FBI break into the compound?
This was actually mentioned by President Clinton in his press conference on the matter. There were several federal laws that had been broken, and above all, they were concerned about the life and well-being of, for example, the children, the innocent people who may have been there. It was basically the reading of the authorities, and of course we have to remember the president did give his approval. He indicated that, and he has certainly supported the action of the authorities. They were trying to act as they saw it on behalf of the innocent people who were there. It was deemed that they had come under the violence or captivity of a maniac, and simply the operation was to save the lives of those people before it went too far. It's interesting to note at this point, and we have not heard a lot about this, but it was admitted that there were people planted within that group, and that there were messages that perhaps through radio or some special devices, high-tech devices, were used to get the messages out of that area. So it is my assumption and opinion, and I've been a journalist now for a quarter of a century, Alfredo, that there was nothing suspicious or unusual about intelligence information getting to the authorities, to special groups within the FBI and the authorities who specialize in just this kind of thing, and I am convinced personally that the government was acting in good faith and simply wanted to protect the lives of innocent people.
Well, from your point of view, being, as you said, a journalist for about a quarter of a century and being an American, and especially being yourself pretty much linked with the esoteric, you practice yoga, you're a vegetarian, you have some experience with, let's say, Oriental culture. Do you think anything which may be compared in this Oriental culture, so the sects in the extreme Orient, with what happened in Waco?
Something parallel could happen in those groups, do you mean?
Yes.
For example, like the Hare Krishna movement or the Buddhists, this sort of thing.
Yes.
It's not even virtually, it's absolutely impossible. I was born a Roman Catholic, and I'm still nominally a Roman Catholic. I go to the Roman Catholic Mass, and I find great value in the Roman Church. However, my interest in spiritual matters go beyond that, and I find great interest and great wealth of knowledge and spirituality in the Oriental, specifically the Hindu sphere. I practice yoga, which is not a religious act, incidentally. It's purely a physical and mental act, because one of the precepts of the Eastern philosophies is that mental and physical health go hand in hand. The practice has also been condoned and approved by people of all religious philosophies. I also meditate. I've done transcendental meditation for many years. I know priests who do this and nuns and rabbis. So I want to exclude those movements from anything called sects. To answer your question correctly and concisely, Alfredo, we must dwell for a moment on these words sect and cult. They are used and abused, especially in the European context. They must be defined. A sect, in the theological sense, means a group which has detached itself from the mainstream of a theological thought. Now, if we want to be very technical about it, Protestantism originated as a sect of Catholicism. It broke away and rejected the Pope, therefore it was a sect. Now today we don't regard Protestantism as a sect. It has become so large that it has become its own religion. Buddhism began as a protest movement, detached itself from mainstream Hinduism. Hinduism and Buddhism are very closely related, but are not the same. Strictly speaking, Buddhism was, at least for a time, a sect of Hinduism. Now it has become large and it is respected as its own religion. Within mainstream Christianity, who speaks for Christianity? We have Methodists, we have Baptists, and so on and so forth, Calvinists. We have the Zwingli Church in Switzerland. At what point do we stop calling these groups cults or sects and identify them as mainstream religion? A sect is nothing more than a group within a mainstream that feels that it would like to follow a particular chapter or issue of mainstream religion and goes a little bit out on its own. The word sect is not synonymous with lunacy, insanity, crazy, fanatical operations. Not one bit of it, I can assure you.
Well, finally, Bob, you heard the program coming from Universal Life. You live in the German part of Switzerland. What are your comments about what was said on the program? Do you think it is possible that such a situation exists of intolerance in a democratic country such as Germany?
Oh, there's no question it may. I'm not saying it does, but I have no doubt that it may exist. I'm also sure that in a country like Italy, a country like France, Britain, and the United States, and certainly I know in Switzerland, there are, among certain police elements, those branches specialized in keeping an eye on, let us call them, suspicious movements or operations. And, of course, the people who run the police and the authorities are not experienced in theology. They may seek counsel among established theologians, but many of these the theologians are also not familiar with the philosophies, the esoteric aspects of the different sects. And of course, if they're asked the question, do you think, Reverend or Pastor, that these groups are potentially dangerous? He would have to say, yes, they're potentially dangerous. But there are people who get up at the top of buildings and take shots at people, who murder people, but they also belong to well-established churches. So I think, having lived in this part of the world for a long time, I would not exclude the possibility that things like wiretapping and other surveillance methods have taken place. But I do not believe that if the Universal Life people or the other Urchristen, as they're known in German, are behaving in a normal, civilized way, that I do not believe that anyone will interfere with their religious freedom, which is another issue entirely.
And this is all I have for this special edition of the Hello There program, dedicated and devoted to the situation in Waco, Texas, with various comments from most of the, or some of the broadcasters you can hear on IRRS shortwave. Well, I invite you to join us with our regular transmissions every Sunday at 09:15 hours Central European Time, and then with a repeated broadcast at 15:30 hours CET, or Central European Time, every Sunday, featuring your letters, your comments, your correspondence. And I very much invite you this time especially to write and send your comments on the program today to our mailing address here in Milano. That's IRRS Shortwave and Nexus IBA, Post Office Box 10980. The zip code or the postal code is 20110 in Milano, Italy. That, once again, is IRRS Shortwave and Nexus IBA, P.O. Box 10980 in 20110 in Milano, Italy. You may also give us a call here on country code 39, area code 337-297788, or call our studio in Milano on 392-266-6971. Well, if you wish, you may also fax us, and I'll be more than glad to read your letters as well as your faxes in one of the next edition of the Hello There program. Our fax number in Milano is country code 39, area code 2706-38151. Well, until the next time, I'm Alfredo Quatroneo, wishing you a very good day.